Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the show, visit us at patreon.com, and for as little as $1 a month, you can become a patron. Or you can buy cool Lorehammer products like shirts, coffee mugs, and dice bags at www.redbubble.com. Don't want to spend any money? Well, you can help out the show by giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also hop on over to Facebook and like our page. And feel free to send us a message. It's the only enjoyment Mark gets out of his miserable life.
Hello and welcome back to Lorehammer Lockdown. My name is Eric.
Eric, I'm Mark.
That's Mark. Yep. Thank you for joining us. Also joining us today, someone who has been on multiple times before, people have been asking.
They're fanging for him.
Oh, they have just a little taste of him and then they just desperately want more. So without further ado, welcome Colin.
Hi, guys. I've returned. I'm back. I exist.
from the abyss.
Yeah, it's been so long.
Yeah, like I last appeared on episode 73, which was like June 2019.
No, I couldn't have been 33. That's too much.
73. No. Bonus episode 10.
Bonus episode 10.
Oh, episode 73.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like 107 or something.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's been a while.
It's been a minute. We've missed you.
Yeah. I miss you guys too. I know it's been a long time, and to the listeners, I have heard you. I know my presence has been missed. I know that I am the most asked for requested guest host on Lorehammer. And when
yeah. No one has paid us $270 to have you back on. So
$500.
Well, cut out the middleman and pay me. I will return.
You're saying you've received money from Lorehammer listeners.
I'm here, aren't I?
You know your value. That's good.
Yeah. Now, look, I've only been on 8 episodes, and you know why that's important?
Oh God!
Because quality over quantity.
No, it's because when you combine the episode numbers 73, 67, 61, 54, 42, 35, 27, and 23, you get 380. Now, 382 is a compilation of the energies and values, the numbers 3, 8, and 2. 3, how many hosts launched Lorehammer. 8, how many episodes I have been on. 2, how many audio dramas I've released old open stories when I was last on. Now, the one thing about this is that the Adeptus Sororitas, that was the next episode that came out. They are angelic warriors of the Imperium. Angels also have a number of them. When you look up the word faith, in the angelic sequence for the sororitas, guess what number you get?
What number, Colin?
That's right. Oh, it begins, gentlemen, because you know what's about to happen. You take 3, 8, 2, deconstruct them, put them back together, add them up. What do you get? 13. Oh, man, lucky 13. The number of death in the tarot, triskaidekaphobia, the fear of the unlucky 13, and 13 black crusades is how many it took for Abaddon to break Cadia. 13 ghosts, 13 warriors, 13 reasons why, District 13, Apollo 13. Oh, the possibilities are endless, but don't be scared. Why? Because how many short stories and audio dramas have we released on coldopenstories.com? 13. What a coincidence. The universe is trying to tell us something, because on February 13th, the day that Warhammer Community released its voice acting casting video, with no coincidence that we broke the story, the number 13. So I am going to be here for hopefully more than 13 minutes. And how many people are watching us live on Instagram right now? 13.
Hey, Colin.
Yeah.
Someone just said that's what my schizophrenic cousin sounds like.
It's true. Oh, I saw it.
It's too bad the numbers all break down when you said three hosts. It's actually 3.5 that started the podcast. So it all your numbers actually.
No, Colin.
Yeah, your math was slightly off. Unless you round down, in which case you're back on track.
Well, if I round up to the number 4, 4 has a lot of significance in Chinese mythology.
My God.
So I don't know where to go from there, Colin.
Well, I do.
You seem to be a madman.
I know where to go from there. You mentioned multiple times in that madman spiel that you had. You talked about us. You talked about Lorehammer. You talked about Sisters of Battle. But you also talked about Cold Open Stories. And if ever there was a reason that you had not been on our podcast recently, it's because your hobby time is being given to something else recently.
Yeah, like I chose my love of something else over you, and I am sorry, and I'm here to try to make amends.
You know what? Apology accepted.
Never needed in the first place for me.
Oh, no, thank you guys. And admittedly, thank you for having me on. It has been a very, very long time. I like to think that time has been well spent, though, trying to, like yourselves, build up the Warhammer community. I would say, carved out different niches. I love what you guys have been doing with the program, where you're building up your whole army with names of the listeners, the painting contest. This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's been a wild half a year here for Lorehammer, but
it's also been pretty crazy for Cold Open Stories. I don't know how many of our listeners are aware of what Cold Open Stories is. I'm sure all of them have listened to the episode where we've listened to a couple, but even they might have thought, you know, you were done or you ended, but no, you're still going pretty strong on that, and you've even opened something up pretty recently. So why don't you give us a rundown of, you know, A, what Cold Open Stories is doing, and then what's opened up recently.
Sure. So Cold Open Stories is a love letter to short fiction. The idea that you can be quickly thrown into new worlds and reflect on like the culture or get to know some characters quickly. And it has started off predominantly as audio dramas set in the 40K universe. And what we've done is we've also gone on to expand this to short fiction anthologies, which are a combination of people submitting these longer stories. We actually have a Black Library author who submitted as well to help us with the kickstarting of the event.
That's so crazy. I saw that, and that is so crazy.
It's amazing, and it's great fun. And so with those, we have short fiction, usually 2,000 to 8,000 words, but we've also now launched a short fiction contest. It's called Fast Fiction. It's 1,000 words. There is one winner. And it's already the entries coming in. There's some good comedy in there as well. Some romance in 40K. Ooh. A lot of grim, dark violence. So there's a lot of stuff to pull from. So whether someone's looking for listening to an audio drama, which we really hold it to a high standard for quality. We've also got the short stories, 2,000 to 8,000 words. You can kind of digest them in 15 to 35 minutes. And then we've got the Fast Fiction contest that we're now running each month.
Nice.
Very, very cool stuff.
The key word you said in there was quality. Like, we get a lot of listener lores, and most of them are like, they're just like me, just writing stories, you know?
It's fun fanfic.
Yeah, but yeah. Like, when you actually listen to Cold Open Stories, yeah, it's like a professional production. Like, yeah. When you read any of this stuff, it's all extremely well done. So do you have to do a lot of weeding out, or like?
It comes down to numbers, because you're gonna get everyone on the spectrum, from someone who's just starting out. Maybe they, for the audio dramas specifically, maybe they have a lot of raw talent, but they don't have good equipment. So we've actually put together some guides on how to pick a microphone and stuff like that. We also get some people who, maybe they're just building up and their models, and they said, I'm gonna take a chance on this. We actually have a lot of people who are fans of 40K, and maybe they're actors in their own community. We've had a lot out of the UK who've started to audition, and they're actors in London and Nottingham. And we've also got for the short stories, we get them from all over the world, skill levels. But the point is, we're trying to make it accessible. We're trying to create these materials that are, fan-driven, that explore different parts of the 40K universe you wouldn't normally see. So we've got things, just crew on a tanker. And then we've also got a story of a chef who falls to Slaanesh. So there's a lot of unique things you can play with based on our editorial mandate of exploring smaller, more character-driven and unique stories.
Yeah, that's what I like. It's not like every story is just like, and then the Space Marines charged into battle. Like, your very first audio drama that you did was just such a unique perspective that, even though I've been in the hobby for almost 20 years, I've never thought of that before. I never heard anything like that.
Yeah, well, that was the satellite of 66B, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The audio dramas that we have out right now. So yeah, we've got Satellite of 66B, which was a proof of concept. It's about an Imperial Navy echographer who listens for dangers before they arrive near the planet. We've also got March for Mars, which is our knight's story fighting Tyranids. When All Lights Have Gone Out, which, Mark, you and I have not had the chance to talk about this on air, about your thoughts about Lights, about our sister's story. That one did go on to get nominated for 2 Audioverse Awards last year. They kind of bent the rules to allow fan fiction of a franchise, and having spoken with Games Workshop Legal to make sure everything was above board, and they were cool with it. So that was great for us. A Cog in Crimson is the most recent one. That's our Adeptus Mechanicus story. It involves a pirate who finds himself in the thrall of Hieronymy of Bosch, a magician who is looking to jump across the Cicatrix Maledictum. And then we've got our Gene Stealer story, which we just finished casting for over 400 auditions, which blew my mind. and then we've got our Eldar and Necron story, which is in its casting call right now.
So I submitted audition for the Gene Stealer, but I never got your acceptance email. So it might have just got stuck.
He probably just wanted to personally deliver you the good news.
Yeah, it probably.
So
just
I think
got,
now is probably the good time.
COVID kind of led Eric to come to see you. So I mean, sorry there, Eric. We fan flipper is too high. There's a virus. I mean, we had to go with the second best. I'm so sorry.
Huh.
You know what? It's all right. There's better stuff out there for me. I know there's a Necron one that you're working on right now. I was actually sitting in front of my computer the other day, checking out the lines and building a character out of it. So, yeah,
give us your voice.
It's a work in progress right now. So,
plus you don't want anyone to steal your secret.
Exactly. Yeah. So don't act surprised when I show up at your house with some audition tapes, Colin.
I will happily put them where I put the others, in the garage.
Oh, that's
awesome.
That's a very nice place.
But the coolest thing about this whole thing is that I didn't audition because I knew you, right? Like Mark and I don't have special access to the project that you're doing because you've been on the podcast. This project is open up to anyone and everyone who has access to your website, which is everyone except probably
Uganda.
Well, except I was thinking more like, I was more thinking like monitored states, like maybe some parts in Russia and China where access is blocked. Yeah. But it's cool to know that anyone out there is more than welcome to audition out for Cold Open Stories. And that's one of the coolest things about the project you're doing.
Yeah, no, it's been an incredible experience to be able to bring people together from all around the world. That's my niece who wants to audition as well.
Does she want to?
Sorry,
Colin. Go ahead.
Well,
so it's from people all around the world. Sorry about that, listeners. It is as we all work from home now in this day. It's been interesting, but yeah, it's people from all around the world. We had Japan, Spain, the UK. It's been fantastic. Getting a lot of great attention on the audio dramas, and I think the most important thing is we've been able to keep up the quality. That we're, you know, so one of the comments has been we're giving Black Library a run for their money, and I'll take that.
I mean, that's an interesting comment.
Yeah.
Don't know the validity of it, but it's very, very cool. And I'm more than happy to even say, like, I sent in my audition. I think it's just awesome to be able to say that alone. So you have to keep doing that and keep it open to people. And I think that's one of the coolest aspects of what you're doing.
Well, thank you. And I mean, it was kind of a natural fit that with the audio dramas, we're exploring these unique characters that we want to then move into, you know, short fiction and allow people to write up their own characters. It is different than, you know, what you guys have done with listener lore, in that you're reading the stories, you're narrating them, and I've always enjoyed listening to them as well. We're not doing that. We're just trying to put pen to paper.
Very cool. Now you did a contest a little while ago, didn't you?
Well, for one of the short stories, we had one of the stories that was submitted was getting a audio drama adaptation. So
can you share what the story was, or is that still unknown and we have to wait?
No, I'm happy to break that here. So it was New Moon, written by Daniel Summerbell. That is the story where in the skies above Salazar, a new moon appears. And when the sirens sound, the local yeomanry drop their tasks and hurry to defend their village. But from what?
Okay. So he wrote a short story, and then you and a couple other people are adapting it into an audio drama, or he was expected to write it as if it were already an audio drama? Because they're very different things. The script of an audio drama versus just a short story or fanfic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Daniel Summerbell has submitted New Moon, and out of all of the entries, we decided this one for adaptation. So he submitted a piece of short fiction, and we are adapting it.
Very cool. And who's doing the adaptation? Is it you, or is it the Black Library guy?
Actually, the Black Library guy is, he had only submitted it, he had submitted a piece of short fiction that is included on the site, but the adaptation is being done by myself. We do have another writer on the team. His name is Stephen Rhodes. He's a narrative designer and writer. He's worked on Gods and Monsters, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Wrath and Glory, the 40K RPG, and Witcher 3. And so he's helping with the adaptation as well.
Oh, that's...
That's a lot of big titles.
Those are some massive titles. Yeah. Jeez.
So out of all of this... Sorry, go on, Colin.
Oh, no, just it's keeping us busy, and we've got a lot of great stuff on the go, and we're just trying to keep that standard of quality that people have come to expect. We do have two short fiction submission windows open right now. So we have one voice acting audio drama. You know, you can audition for that, or if you have a story, you can either enter the short fiction or the fiction anthology, which we're accepting submissions for.
Nice. So out of everything that you've done over there, what has been the most enjoyable part for you?
I think cutting together the audio and when it works. When you have two actors or an actor and actress who have delivered their lines completely in isolation. We don't record them live on Discord. It's not like a real play session. When people record them separately and then you splice them together and they're matching the exact tone, the exact moment, and their acting instincts are spot on, that is so thrilling to be like, it just gels and you're like these people from millions of miles away and you're bringing them together to tell the story. It's a very empowering feeling.
Yeah, no, that is crazy that, like, yeah, you don't even, like, do Discord voice calls to practice with each other. It's just all in isolation. That's wild.
And they build the characters themselves, and they put that character and history into their voices, and that's what you're looking for, like, in the auditions is, you know, has this person captured the essence of what this character is, and have they expressed it in these three lines that I gave them? It's very challenging to try and build a character that can convey all this emotion in ultimately very few lines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to really know your audience, know the person that you're speaking to as the character and trying to anticipate what they're going to say. What is the tone they are going to take? I think a lot of that is baked into the script. But when you have people who are fans of 40K and they audition, like we've had a couple of people who are like, yeah, I do funny voices. My wife thought I should just, you know, give it a shot. And it's a little like self-deprecating. And then you're like, dude, we all paint miniatures that are small scale. Like there is nothing nerdy here. We're doing voices of ancient aliens and stuff. So there's been some people who are actually, you know, performers who grew up with Warhammer and this is their way of coming back to it. That has been super entertaining to be like, we got our, you know, our claws into them. We're dragging them back. You know, if you hear of the term starving artist, just wait till you're into 40K now. You're going to be broke as hell.
Yeah, that's always one of my favorite parts about 40K is just there's a part in the hobby for everyone. Like it's not just us building miniatures. Like, yeah, it's also books or what you're doing, or there's so many different aspects.
There's video games, comics, movies, TV shows now. Yeah, no, it's very cool that you're fulfilling almost even another aspect of 40K.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 40K can be other things than painting, than tabletop games, than books. It can be a place where people can come together and engage in the arts. You know, it's kind of weird to say that out loud because it's like, what are we doing? We're doing fan fiction. And fan fiction usually does get a bad rap. But if you look at the quality of the writing that we've collected here, I think that we can actually argue that, you know, we can throw off those shackles and say, you know, fiction is just fiction. There's other authors in the world, Stephen King, Neil Gaiman, who've written fan fiction, been published for things like Cthulhu mythos stories, and people just ravenously gobble them up. You know, how is this different? You know, there's a story that you love, and this is our response to that people can engage in, because people just want to be a part of the 40K universe. Not physically living in it, that would be horrifying, but they want to engage in this is just another way.
Yeah, it was interesting. So the Astartes part 5 came out a couple weeks ago or whatever, and people are like, oh, I really hope GW like hires that guy. I'm like, I kind of just hope he doesn't get hired. Like he builds his own Patreon, gets super popular where he can continue to do his fan fiction. Like if he gets involved with GW, you know, they'll get their sticky little fingers into what he's doing, and it's not going to be as good, I don't think.
Well, it'll be different.
It will be a different thing.
It will be different. It will not be his. And
the same thing goes
with
for you.
Everything.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like no offense, but I hope you don't work for GW ever. I hope your fans, your listeners will contribute to what you're doing, and that way it can stay pure to like what you originally intended for. Because yeah, fan fiction, you don't have to work for GW to be a good writer or to be a good painter or to do any of these things good.
Well, there's a market share, you know, like the reason why many models or books come out is to fill a gap. And I think that there's no hesitation. You know, Games Workshop has been releasing more things to fill that gap, like, you know, with Zotes. Who asked for Zotes to come back to 40K?
That's very
very vocal. A very vocal small minority, I'm sure, but and people who deserve to have that model, don't get me wrong. But I think that with what we're doing, we can explore different characters that you would never see in the tabletop. You might see in the fiction. Like to have a chef who is brutal, going down this ladder. It's like if Gordon Ramsay fell to Slaanesh, you know, it's like, how did that come about? Like, you get to explore that
chaos cultist.
Marketing or model development, and you can just experiment. And that's what this is. It's just an experiment.
That's pretty wild.
So, Mark, have you listened to the recent dramas? And Eric, have you read any of the stories?
I have not yet. All I've done on your website is your auditions. I've been stuck on that page for a couple days now. Every day I take a look and I run through it again in my head, and I'm trying to get in the space before I record it. But I have every intention of going. Sorry, repeat again, Colin.
You're just like, you know, holding a coffee cup, looking wistfully at the monitor while Sarah McLachlan's "I Will Remember You" is playing in the background.
That's right.
Everything
is
black.
And then a single tear just runs down my face, and those were the good days, right?
All been there.
No, but I have every intention of going and reading those short ones.
Yeah. Just flaunt the ability that you can read out there. I noticed there, Colin, how you asked me if I listened, and if you asked Eric if he read. So don't think that went unnoticed.
Oh, no, that was intentional, 100%.
So I listened to your first three, and I haven't listened to A Cog in Crimson yet. I'm just waiting for that perfect moment.
Where it's like a rainy day outside.
Yeah. So when I listened to When All Lights Go Out, I was doing a two-hour drive in the middle of the night, and it was raining, and it was just, and I was out in the mountains, and it was just like the perfect listening experience. So I'm waiting for that again to fully appreciate and enjoy. Because I think it does like a little bit of an injustice to what you do if you're just, you know,
if you're not focusing on it.
Yeah. You know, if it's just on the background, great, you can enjoy it. But like when you're actually pinned in, dialed into what you're doing, it just makes it so much more enjoyable.
Absolutely. I think these are meant to be consumed with your full intent, your full attention on them. These aren't like the first time you went and saw like Endgame, the movie, right? You're not also on your phone or texting your friend or doing something. Your attention is on it. And I think these need to be consumed the same way. They're meant as an auditory medium to create an image in your brain. And if there's other things going on in that moment, I think you're taking away what the words are trying to create.
Yeah. And like even more so because your stories are so quick and a lot of things happen. So if you miss 30 seconds of it, that could have been very critical. Like that could have...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Change the whole thing, that one line, you know?
Absolutely. I would like to hear your guys' thoughts about, you know, with community building, what you guys are doing for fans, for creating a place to collect. this is, I am
happy to actually have a niece who also enjoys, you know, what I'm working on here. Oh, so sure. She's come to check it out. for you guys though, like, you know, I think what we're doing is we're both creating a environment where fans can just engage in 40K and enjoy it together.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
Two different mediums, but this is, it's like a Venn diagram. This is where we intersect. You know, some of us love stories. Some of us love playing games. Some of us love narrating and the creative process. And I think we said it before, or we definitely did, is that there's a place in 40K for everyone. And this is where we intersect, right? Is our creation of community. That's where you and I, like Colin and Lorehammer, right? That's where we intersect.
You know, the center of that Venn diagram is called like a Rouleau triangle. I don't know why I know that, but Rouleau sounds like some sort of like Eldari, you know, spell. For the stories that we get, like, I would encourage, you know, that there is a hunger and environment for people who want to, you know, have their lore heard, have their stories heard. And I would encourage everyone to, you know, over to Lorehammer to hear their stories read and engaged with. And I also love how you guys dissect them as well. You know, talk about what you like, what you know, hanging on for the sequel. And some of them are just blisteringly funny. Like some of the stuff that you guys get is hysterical.
I love the ones where it's like 500 words, no spacing properly, no periods, no punctuation. Commas.
And I think that's a big difference in yours and ours. Like our process is that we don't care whether, well, I mean, we care, but we will not, we don't change anything. We're not looking to edit anything. We're not looking for polished products. We're looking for, you know, Joe and his drunk buddy to come up with a story of your army, and sure, we'll share it. But what you're doing is like, hey, if you like writing, like we can help you take it to the next step, you know?
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing about you is that you're more than willing to work with people who have great ideas and have these great beginnings and bones of a story. And you're willing to work with them to create something that is polished and producible. And I think that's a very interesting step that you've taken.
Yeah, like we've been, we're actually bringing on more members to the team now. So not only, you know, have we had a writer, we have our composer. God, I could never forget, you know, Robert, who at Officio Audiorum, he does the music for the dramas, which are just spot on, perfect, tonally what we're looking for.
He's
a great composer. But we've also, you know, we're expanding. We're doing, you know, community outreach in a way. We are bringing in editors to help with the submissions just because of the volume that we're getting now.
Oh yeah.
And we very publicly don't run a Patreon. We want to keep this as if you have money and you like what we're doing, we have a list of charities that are located on our site that people can hop on there and support those. Cool. Charities that have great for ourselves as well as, you know, something that's thematically appropriate for the story.
Sure. No, that's pretty cool. So all lights go out, orphanage charities, eh? That's how you're doing that?
Kind of on the nose there, isn't it?
Or are you donating to the Catholic Church? Which one of the two?
Well, the ecclesiarchy already has enough money. So
I would agree with that one. If I know this is kind of putting you on the spot, this question, but you, because you were asking me like, oh, like, would have you ever read the short fictions? And I'm now staring at all your short fictions, and I'm wondering, like, not right now, but if we were to ever read one of these online, like, oh man, what one would we do?
I would murder you and hide the bodies.
That makes more sense. You would sue us for everything we have, right? Mm-hmm.
No, actually, what it comes down to is actually we do have arrangements with the authors to, because everything that's posted on the site, we're not done with it yet. Just because one was chosen for an audio adaptation at one point doesn't mean we will not return to the other stories. Sure. And as we're expanding the team, it's something that we're looking at doing is actually increasing our output to release more dramas. And one befits the other, you know. One benefit, you know, if you have a short story laying around and that's incredible content, why would you not want to go and give it that excellent 40K polish to listen to?
Yeah, no, that makes
definitely sense. Yeah.
So, how big of a team are you guys working with now?
So right now, composer, we're working on the recruitment of the editors, just expanding that. We have a writer, script doctor, and we're looking at getting some community outreach as well, just in engaging the amount of contact that we receive, asking a lot of questions about, you know, what audio setup do I require? You know, trying to talk to with a lot of people who are either new to voice acting or maybe they're veterans. Like, some of the talent that we've had come in for the audio dramas has just been unbelievable. We've had people who've worked on in the Mass Effect series, and you just kind of go, why us? You know, why choose this? But I think it's a credit to 40K is just an incredibly rich and satisfying setting to play in as a sandbox.
Yeah, for sure. So for getting kind of what you need for bare bones audio equipment, like, do you have a rough estimate of the cost of that? Like, if somebody's just starting from scratch and they want to try to get involved, they want to start sending you stuff, how much are they going to kind of need? What are they going to need?
Bare bones at the bottom level, if you're using a USB kind of setup, you could do it for under $175 Canadian. If you want to have kind of a mid-range setup, you're probably looking at $250 to $300. To be fair, if we're talking about people who like 40K, congratulations, you just bought yourself, you know, one of the year-end battle boxes and start collecting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's very doable. Like, yeah, we get a bunch of questions on the equipment we use too. It's like people think, oh yeah, I need this Blue Yeti $500 microphone. It's like, sure, you can.
Yeah, if that's what you're willing to spend, but yeah.
Yeah, like you can get good output for under $200 for sure.
Yeah. More than capable Absolutely. Of handling what you want.
Yeah.
I find that it's actually the environment, and I'm no winner at this. You can no doubt isolate the sound of my dog running around in the other room and the amount of people in my house. But I think that a lot of it depends on the environment that you're in.
You need to hang a Batman blanket on your wall.
Yeah.
Yep, do it. Just go right ahead and don't even be silly about it. You know, sit over top of your microphone, drape a blanket over your head, look like you're, you know, a monk from the ecclesiarchy, and just perform. Like, just, and also more than anything else, have fun with it. Like, chew the scenery, take risks, make weird choices, because those are the ones that get our attention. Those are the ones that we're like, okay, how can we develop this into a character?
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. So have you... So you wrote the first three stories. Did anyone help you write the first three, or that was all just kind of in your head and then kind of maybe you had somebody editing or?
So I did actually the first four. Cog and Crimson was the last one.
Oh, yeah.
Gene story, However Tall, However Hidden, Stephen Rhodes is a co-writer on that. Our sixth one, Agthrill, The Counterfeit Blade, that's me again. But we have New Moon, Daniel Summerbell, working with him on the adaptation for that. And we have actually some other writers who are potentially in good places in the industry chatting with us to do some development. So yeah. We'll see how those go.
Do you see yourself taking more of like a production director role with this and less of like a contributor as it like goes on and as you get more writers and more actors and everything?
I actually never consider myself a writer. Or really even a director. I consider myself a producer who got really bored of really crap audio adaptations on YouTube and want to kind of something of a higher quality. So, I mean, I will always be involved in the actual editing and cutting of the audio dramas. That's something I'm very passionate about and I don't want to walk away from. I consider the stories to be something that I always want to collaborate in on, and I'm one of the judges for the Fast Fiction Collection, and I will be working very closely on editors as we get new submissions at the end of this window. But I'm always eager to have other voices come in, and I would like to have people, you know, write stories that they are passionate about, that fulfill the setting, and it's something that we can both share in an appreciation together.
Yeah. So as much as you like to say, though, that you're not a writer, you are a good writer. You're a good storyteller. Do you have like tips or tricks? Like, have you taken any online writing courses, or what's your advice to people?
The only online writing course that I took was a master's degree for my university.
I would do it.
that's, you know, and those aren't cheap. But I do think that I got a lot out of that from just understanding your audience. My professional career is in communications. And so when I think about what I learned about audience expectation, how you talk to people, that's where a lot of my storytelling ideas, you know, come from. If we were to pick a writer who has had a significant influence, for me, it would be Chuck Palahniuk, Choke, Fight Club, in terms of writing style. I do really gravitate to his style of writing, which actually the grittiness of it fits very well for 40K. I don't typically go as dark in some of the descriptions, but as these stories are continuing to go on, I find that they are getting a little bit more grim weird than grim dark. And I think that Astarte has actually fulfilled that same thing with the orbs at the end of the story. Spoiler warning, you'll find out what's in them. Or you won't.
No one knows.
I know everything.
I know. I'm a little intrigued. Have you actually gotten in touch with the Astartes guy?
We'll talk another time.
Oh my god. All right, sure. Yeah, absolutely. we can bottle that one up.
I was like, yeah, I'm gonna message him. I never did.
Crazy. Anyways, that aside, so your stories are, I think your stories are exploring other things, and maybe the weird vibe you're getting out of is that you're done just seeing people die.
Yeah.
Right? You're done exploring like how horrible life is, and now you're wondering, well, how crazy is life in 40K? Like, we already know the dangers of living in 40K, but what about the weird oddities about living in 40K? Like, the warp is a very real presence. Like, well, what happens if all of a sudden there's no reason, but all the water recedes on your planet for 3 days? And comes back.
As blood, though, obviously.
Right, well, or whatever, but that's the weird part about 40K. Yeah. It's like, there's not necessarily death and destruction in that, but the action in itself is something that is a weird happening in the universe. And I like that your stories can focus more on just the what-ifs in 40K as opposed to, well, now everybody dies because bolt guns.
Yeah, like I also look at this in terms of cycles, though, because 40K is very well divided into Imperium, Xenos, and Chaos. And the first four stories are Imperial. We have some other stories coming up, like The Dauntless Will and New Moon, which are still Imperial. But if you look at what I'm working on, what I'm writing, we're kind of moving out of the Imperial tone. We're starting to go into Xenos. And I will tell you, when we finally do loop back around and we get to Chaos, there is some gritty shit. There is some very painful stuff that we've got waiting in the rafters that we've talked about. That I think that if the climax of the Echo of Satellite 66B and what you hear kind of gave you the willies, I think that we're gonna one up that later on in the year.
Well, it definitely did do it for me when I first read or heard Satellite 66B. Like, that got me going immediately. So I'm only excited to see what's coming next.
No, we're very excited with some of the talent that we've been able to attract, and just want to keep telling good stories that fill out this niche that we're looking at. And let's be fair, audio dramas in 40K is already a niche within a niche. But I'm always amazed at the amount of people that come out, like, for the voice acting casting call, like, has been ridiculous.
Yeah. So, if you're looking forward to writing one Xenos or telling a story of one Xenos faction or something like that, which one intrigues you the most? What one kind of has the most story opportunities just right off the bat in your mind?
Eldar. And it's coming out.
Oh, period. That's the egg, you know?
Yeah. What you can do with, I'll just say the two things that intrigued me that were kind of the hooks were, number one, the Eldar's mythology, which I view as more of a Greek pantheon of how the ancient Greeks viewed their gods, how the Eldar can come to revere them in 40K now that they've been dead for such a long time, or they are in these weird hidden states. Yeah. The other thing about that is, what makes Necron scary? And phasing technology is perfect for an audio drama format as well, because of what you can do with just that shifting uncomfortability and things popping out of nowhere. It can make for a very action-packed, but also tense, like, oh my God, you know, it's coming out of the walls, you know, it's coming out of the floors, it's coming through that guy. And then there's a lot of great opportunity you could do from storytelling that I hadn't really seen a lot of that phasing used to horror, which is something that we're going to be exploring.
Very cool. Yeah, I could get behind Eldar. Definitely have a lot of possibilities there.
If it was my choice, it was either going to be Eldar or Tau.
Tau can be good.
Yeah, but I do, like, I think Necron Perspective, Tyranid, Orc, none of those are going to be as depthy of a audio drama or history as the Eldar or the Tau.
Yeah, and even the Tau, it's like they just bring a lot of stuff. So it's not even necessarily Tau. It's more just how they interact with all their client races. But yeah, Eldar, very cool, man.
Very, very cool.
And I would love to hear what sort of stories they want to hear. You know, hopping on over to either any of the socials or sending an email being like, this is what I want. You know, shout it out.
I would love to hear what space marine stuff.
Yeah,
I am, but you know, there are still good space marine stories. But you know, how do we tell one that's uniquely kind of painted with the cold open stories brush? That it's more intimate. It's more about the characters in a quiet place on a journey. Or again, it's called cold open. We usually throw them into battle very, very quickly. But what can we do that's interesting with it? I mean, one of my favorite sequences that we ever did was in Cog and Crimson, where we have effectively drop ships trying to escape, and it just continues to escalate and get worse and worse as they're trying to get away. And the audio design we did for that was just, mwah, you know, like insert, you know, Ratatouille hand gestures. It was so fun to do that. And it's an Imperial story. I mean, like, there could be something Space Marines that we can do.
Sure.
But yeah, I just would love to hear. And people can either do this through just sending us a message, or I would actually encourage them to flesh out their story, either submit it in the Fast Fiction Contest, 1,000 words, 1 month, one winner, or develop it into a longer short fiction and submit it for our seasonal anthology.
Sure, sure.
Well, I might have to submit something.
I think you should. I mean, you really, you know, credit where credit's due, Eric. I really enjoyed your Necron story. So, you know,
Eric just gave me the finger in a very hostile manner. Hurt feelings all of a sudden.
No, very, very cool. It's really cool to hear what you're doing with the hobby, especially all the new things that are coming out. Like I keep a little bit of a tab on cold open stories, but it's mainly just through like seeing what you're updating in your social networks or checking your website every once in a while. But like I haven't even texted you in a while. Yeah, I haven't seen you at like our game days in a while. So it's cool to connect and hear, you know, from the donkey's mouth exactly what's happening.
What did you call me? No, I recognize that this work takes a lot of effort and a lot of people to get involved. Like, we look at our acting cast, and some of them, I always tell myself, I'm going to just write a smaller, more intimate story. Bam, 12 people. I'm like, how the hell did that happen? but I'm just really happy that we're doing this. It's all produced by fans.
Yeah. No, that is awesome. So you've told us the good. Now tell us the bad. What is the number one thing you dislike about cold open stories?
The amount of work that is required to put one of these things out, Mark, is a labor. It is
so how long, a labor. How long do you think it took you to do, let's do your second story, because then you kind of had the basics of how to do things. How long did it take you to do your second story? How many hours?
Because Echo took about a month for writing and then 2 weeks for editing. March for Mars took about 3 weeks for everything. And it's only when I got to our sister story that was about 6 to 8 weeks.
Because that one, the acting, it felt like it was taken up to another level.
Oh, yeah.
On that one.
Oh God, yes! Like the talent that we got for lights, and again, I think that's demonstrated with the nominations that we received at the awards. Cog is the one that's taken the most time. Also, because what we did is we tried something different. We tried serializing it and producing it, you know, develop, release. Sure. And that just takes a lot more time and effort to keep things together. So what we're doing now is we are just developing the whole thing up front, and then we will drip the content out, just because the amount of work required to reconvene everyone back and forth between episodes can be a little intensive.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Wild. Okay, so which one has been your favorite story so far?
I think for the satisfaction of it being done, I think that Lights was just such a step up that it's always going to emotionally mean a lot to me. Sure. I mean, the one that I'm most proud of from a technical level is Cog, but Lights just was, you know, the talent that we were working with, the sound design, like the song that Robert has for the final, you know, martyrdom-esque thing that is going to not be spoiled, but, you know, I'm hinting at it. I know you two actually even had an argument about the ending, so, you know, there's that.
That's impossible.
Yeah, we don't argue ever.
I think that it's just been... Lights will always have a soft spot in my heart, but everyone has been a favorite for something different. Echo was proving it could be done. March was, we did it without internal narration. Lights was just the emotional core that the story had as someone who grew up in an orphanage and, you know, was adapted into a military regime of cultists. It really meant a lot to me.
Having a similar upbringing, of course.
Being inducted into a religious regime, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. The drugs and the combat stimulants that I was given at a young age just made it very easy to identify with the characters and how they were becoming part of this new order of sisters that were being founded. It means so much.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't know.
Lights, end of this year. We are doing, this is a new thing as well. We're going to be doing a sequel. We're going to see how that works. So Lights have a sequel called The Dauntless Will. And if Lights was about this novice group of sisters in M36, kind of as the beginning of the order is being founded, we are getting a canoness who is fully in, knows all of her badass tricks, and her way of engaging in the story is, how badass does she need to become an inquisitor? And that's the story that's going to sink into the adventures of Ardell Main and the sisters.
Oh, very interesting. Well, is there anything else that you want to share on here before we wrap things up, Colin?
Just again, thank you guys for being good friends and for, you know, helping support this and doing voices in the very first episode.
We have that honor. Both me and Eric have been on A Cold Open Story.
That's so. Right.
That is delightful.
Remember us when you're famous, Colin.
Yeah.
You have written credits. I mean, there is an IMDb for Echo of Satellite 66B. So, you know, congratulations on being published actors or accomplished actors.
That's going on the resume.
Yeah.
if people want to engage in the fast fiction contest, the short fiction anthology, or audition for any of the audio dramas, they can just hop on to coldopenstories.com.
Very, very cool. We will make sure that people know where to go when they want to. Thanks for coming on, Colin.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. Thank you for having me back, and I look forward to seeing you guys in person once the world allows.
Yeah, I think we're kind of roughly planning to have you on the next episode for the Mechanicum. We've talked about it. We haven't said it today, but we have mentioned it. So, Colin, we'll be back real soon.
You've been clamoring for my triumphant return. The myths and legends of my death have been greatly exaggerated. I will be back for the Mechanicus episode.
Yeah, perfect. And hopefully we get you in studio then, too. Can I get a commitment? Can I get a verbal commitment?
Right now.
Right now.
Quick, cue the modem sound.
Well, thank you for joining us, Colin. Thank you, listeners, for joining us for another Lorehammer Lockdown episode. We hope your guys' self-isolation or quarantine, or maybe if you're not doing either of those,
sure,
maybe just your life. Maybe it's going okay right now. But yeah. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to check out our Discord. We've got a paint contest running right now for all of our Patreons, which is pretty awesome. And I guess we'll see you next episode.
See you later, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.